Amen. Appreciate Miss Christie. How many of y'all thought the sound system this morning was about the best it's been? How y'all, did you notice this morning? I think it is. I appreciate Brother Mosley. And with the organ changes we've made and some other things, he's just done a fantastic job. And I know there's still some tweaks in the system that he had no part of it, and we may never figure some of those out. But maybe when we do the addition someday, we can install one that will do it. But we appreciate Brother Mosley. All right. Well, I've kind of been on spring break this week with the family and appreciate the time off. And it's good for the pastor to get a little time with the family. It's enjoyable to spend with the Wiggins. Most of y'all know the Wiggins. Pastor's out in Burnett. We've had a great time this week. At the same time, I got to be a tomato, a little sunburned. Anyway, but we had a good week. I hope you've had a good spring break. Ready to go back to school tomorrow. I've asked Brother Harry to preach. I told him, you know, you should always have a sermon in your Bible. Pastor I was under, if you didn't, he would just come up to you before service and say, "You're preaching tonight." And I always had a sermon in my Bible because I was always gun shy. Better have something on you. I didn't quite do that to Brother Harry tonight, but I asked him this morning if he'd like to speak tonight. Brother Harry, you come on and speak to us.
Thanks, sir. He did give me a little bit of notice. He told me about 12:30. So, yeah, I think he wanted to see me in my coat. So I need to step back. Well, as I was thinking about what to prepare on short notice, just went back to something that, you know, every bit of the Bible has something for us. There's nothing that doesn't apply. There's no word in here that's a wasted word. Every bit of it has something that we can take and that we can learn from, no matter how old we are in our physical life and no matter how long we've been Christians. You know, whether we're a brand new Christian or we've been serving God for our entire lives, there's always something we can get. And I think a good example of that, we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. Once everybody gets there, we'll have a word of prayer and get into it. I think Brother Crawford was wanting to get out early, so why he asked me to speak. So, well, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for the opportunity to delve into your word, Lord, to share your word with others, that hopefully impart some, remind people of some messages that you have for us, Lord, that it would change our lives, that we would once again be reminded of your call on our lives and what you ask of us, Lord, that we would be reminded of the faith that we have in you and the trust that we have, knowing that your perfect will is never to be questioned, God, and that you will provide all of our needs. I thank you, Lord, for Brother Crawford allowing me the opportunity to step into his pulpit, Lord. I know it's not something to be taken lightly. I thank you for it. I thank you for allowing him the time to rest and recuperate and jump back in the saddle this week coming in, Lord, and to lead this church forward. I thank you for everyone who's here braving the cold and that we would all have our hearts prepared and open and ready to receive your word. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, it's a story I think most of us are familiar with. It's the story of David and Goliath. And you, as you see in verses 2 and 3, it says, "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them." So you have the two armies, the army of God and the army of the world, sitting on opposite sides of a valley there on the mountains, and they're within shouting distance of one another. And their entire armies are arrayed there against each other, close enough that you can see the men across from you, and you can hear what they have to say. And it goes on in verse 8, it speaks about Goliath and the champion for the Philistines, the giant, that he comes out in verse 8 and it says, "And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul?" And in verse 10, "And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." So he comes out, and every day he stands before the army of God and mocks them. And he mocks their God. He mocks our God. And there's no response. Everyone, it says in verse 11, "When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." So even the king, This man who was supposedly head and shoulders bigger than anyone else in Israel, physically powerful man, wouldn't stand up and defend his beliefs. He wouldn't stand up and defend God in front of this heathen. It says, it goes on here and talks about David, just a young shepherd boy. He's called by his father Jesse to go and provide food to his brothers. And he arrives there and he hears what Goliath has to say. And he hears Goliath mocking God and mocking the army. And he sees that no one is standing up against him. And he asks, you know, what's going on? Why isn't anybody doing anything? Why aren't we standing up? And as he says it, his own brother, in verse 28, says, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." So his own brother accuses David of having the wrong motives to be in there. He accuses him of being there for his own pride, to see a good show. But David knows the purpose that he's of why he's there. He knows the true meaning of why, whether, you know, his father sent him for food, but God had other reasons for him to be there. He says in verse 29, "And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And that's going to be the focus, our main verse here, is that, is there not a cause? David knew the reason he was there. He knew the cause for his being there. He knew why God had sent him to that valley on that day. All through the Bible, we're shown, from Genesis 1:1 through the end of Revelation, we are shown our cause as Christians. We are shown Jesus Christ. We are shown what we are supposed to do, what we're supposed to stand up for, what we're supposed to believe in and live our lives according to. We're shown that. We know our cause. David stood for that cause, and Saul wouldn't. It said, like I said in verse 11, that Saul and all of Israel heard those words, the words of the Philistine. They were dismayed and afraid. Saul wouldn't stand up. It didn't matter how big and powerful he was. He was scared. He wouldn't stand for God when the time came. But, and in fact, he went even further. If you look at verses 32 and 33, "And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him," speaking of Goliath, thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." So Saul, who's supposed to be the representative of God, he's the king of God's nation, tries to dissuade David from standing for God. He tries to tell him, "You can't do it. You're just a kid. This guy's been fighting people and killing people his entire life. There's no way you can stand to that." And David responds in verse 37, or going through 34 up to 37, he talks about the bear and the lion. But he says in verse 37, "David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee." David knew that, yes, he physically couldn't stand up to Goliath. There was absolutely no way he could do it. But he knew that God would deliver him, just like he had delivered him from the lion and from the bear. God was going to see him through it, because God is not going to be mocked. And unfortunately, it's a really sad testimony there, that Saul's response to David is, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." He said the right words. He said what was going to make everybody happy. You know, it's kind of like the situations where, you know, people will say that they're having problems in their life, and it's, you know, "Well, let's pray about it." Do you honestly mean what you're saying, or are you just going through the motions and just saying what you're supposed to say? Do you honestly say, "Go with God, and have the God is going to be with you, and trust in him to provide for your needs and provide that he'll get you through this battle"? Or are you just saying what you're supposed to say? And now, Saul really believed what he was telling David, that the Lord will be with him. Then why in verse 38 does it say that he armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head and armed him with a coat of mail? And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. If he really trusted that God was going to provide and get him through that battle, he wouldn't have felt the need to put man's armor and man's weapons in David's hand. He would have trusted that God would get him through that. And it just shows that Saul didn't understand the cause for why David was there. He didn't understand and appreciate or even believe in God and in God's cause for them being there, what they were supposed to do that day, and standing up against the world and against the non-believers and showing that God was powerful. You know, we have a cause. As I said, it's through the entire book. And in particular, Jesus spelled it out for us clearly in Matthew 28 when he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." That is our cause. That, as Christians, that is what God has called us to do. We are to get up every day of our lives and go and teach and show people that there is a God. There's a God that won't be mocked. There's a God who will be honored, who will be served. And we are supposed to be that army for him. We are supposed to stand up and deliver his message to the world. We're supposed to share his message of his son coming and dying for us, paying that penalty that we couldn't pay. We are supposed to go forward and share that with the world. And there's no, you know, there's all these causes out there. Save the whales, save the trees, save whatever. How about save the souls? There's no higher cause in the world than going out there and saving your neighbor from an eternity in hell. And that's something we have to look at. Are we living that cause? You know, his cause, the cause of Jesus Christ, will help us to establish right priorities in our life. We have to be careful as Christians that we keep first things first. We have to stay on the right course. You know, God has to always be our top priority in our lives. You know, I think of Deutsch, and I just, it's amazing to me that he would stand up and put everything else in the world, all possessions, all of that, second to his service to God, knowing and trusting that God will provide his needs. Not just mouthing the words, not just saying it, but living it, showing it. It's amazing. What a blessing, what a testimony it is to have someone like that here. He keeps first things first. David kept first things first. He showed up that day, presumably to feed his brothers. But there was a bigger priority. Yeah, his brothers needed food. They needed to be provided for. But Goliath needed to be defeated. The Philistines needed to know that God was not going to be mocked. The duties of our life are important. You know, making money, paying the bills, all of that's important. But nothing is greater to your duty than your duty and obligation to Christ and service to him. You know, and it's a wonderful testimony that all of y'all are here on Sunday night. I mean, that's a lot of things that the world would laugh at. You know, y'all take an entire day out from your time to, you know, to come together and to hear God's word. Absolutely. That's the least we can do. You know, that's part of what we are supposed to do as Christians. His cause, the cause of Christ, demands a sacrifice. If you look at verse 32, it says, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." David offered himself as a sacrifice. He stepped forward. He said, "I'll do it. I'll go to battle. I'll lay down my life if that's what God wants in order to honor God and to serve him." And that's what God expects of all of us. You know, do we have to physically lay down our lives? Not necessarily. But if God asks us to do it, we should all be willing to. We all need to be willing to give ourselves completely to God. He doesn't want our leftovers. He doesn't want that little bit of time you got here and there. He wants and he deserves our first fruits. He deserves that first moment we wake up in the morning should be for God. It should be, and I've been guilty of that in my life, that I don't get up and read my Bible right off the bat all the time. And I feel it. I know when I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. And that's something that I have to work on and stand up and say, I need to give God my first moments of my day and thank him just for the fact that I woke up again. I mean, if nothing else, you have something to thank God for. You have gifts that you can bring and sacrifice to God. And later in David's life, in 2 Samuel chapter 24, he's looking to buy some land, to build a place of worship to God. And as he's the king of Israel, the owner offers to give it to him freely. But David's response is, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." He says, I can't give a sacrifice to God if it didn't cost me anything. You know, if I didn't lose anything, if I'm not giving anything up, it's not a sacrifice. I can't give a sacrifice of something that's cost you and not me. If we're going to receive the blessings of God, we have to be willing to sacrifice ourselves for God. We have to offer ourselves completely to him. His cause, the cause of Christ, requires more than anything that our flesh can bring to it. It requires more than any energy that we can bring into it. If you look in verse 45, it says, Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." David knew that Saul, that Goliath came to him with a sword and a spear and shield and all the armor and weapons of a man, and he knew that he couldn't stand to that. And, you know, this young boy, there was no way he was going to stand up to this giant physically. There's no way he could stand up to his weapons. He knew that he needed more than that. He knew that his flesh couldn't do it. You know, Goliath came to him with everything that a man can bring, but David came to him with something greater. He came to him with God. We have to allow God to be our strength. We have to allow God to be our weapons when we fight the world. We have to trust in Him to give us security and to see us through our troubles. We have to trust. He's given us the perfect weapon. We have nothing to worry about, nothing to fear if we just trust in Him and follow Him and follow His word. Because ultimately, the cause of Christ is eternal. You know, David's victory there as he, you know, killed Goliath with a stone was more than a victory of one man over another or one country over another. It was a victory of God over the world. It was a victory of the true God over all the false gods. It was a victory of, you know, Christianity, of Christ's victory over Satan. It was a victory that is everlasting. And it says there again that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That victory is so much bigger than just a little shepherd boy. And the victory, as I said, was the cause of Christ, and it was an eternal victory. 1 John 2:17 says that the world passeth away, and it goes on to say, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. If we serve God and we stand for His cause and trust in Him, even though our time here is temporary, you know, everything on this world is going to pass away, including ourselves. We're going to eventually die. We're going to turn to dust and be gone. But our eternal soul and where we stood for the cause of Christ is going to last forever. We have to remember that and remember the legacy that we leave in through our lives and through our works here, through our testimony, and stay true and stand for the cause of Christ. You know, is there a cause? Is there not a cause? Yes, absolutely. There's a cause. The cause is Jesus Christ. The cause of Jesus Christ will enable us to keep our priorities and our life in order, and it'll require sacrifice on our part. The cause of Jesus Christ is something that we can't champion on our own, but it requires the power of God to see us through it. It's a cause that's existed from creation and it's going to exist through all of eternity. It's a righteous cause, and it's a cause that David stood for and Saul didn't. You know, as we sit here, we need to realize that, you know, there's a war. We're in a war right now as we go about our lives. We're a war for the lost souls in this world. We're constantly battling against the TV and then the radio and the internet and all the other things that the world has to offer for souls. We are warring, you know, for the future of this country. We're at war for our future, for our children's futures, as far as, you know, what are they going to be taught in school? What are they going to have the ability to worship God like we're doing now? Are they going to have the ability to speak the truth about sin? Is Brother Crawford going to be able to stand up here and say a sin is a sin? It's not a disease. It's not a lifestyle. It's not a choice. A sin is a sin. Are we going to fight for that, a right to say that? Are we going to, you know, right now there's people in Washington that, you know, are enacting laws that are going to require us to give our money that's potentially going to murder unborn children. Is that something that we're going to stand for? You know, it's a modern day Goliath standing up and mocking God and mocking God's people. What are God's people going to do? You know, we say, well, you know, I'll write my congressman. I'll sign a petition. I'll go to a protest. Those are all great things, but how about praying? How about asking God to deliver the victory? You know, when Peter was in prison, they didn't go sign a petition to get him out. They prayed. And what do you know? He's there. God delivered. God brought the victory that only God could bring. You know, we need to remember and put our faith and our trust in God. David and Saul had their chance to stand up for God. Saul didn't. Saul cowered in his tent while David stood up and said, I will fight. I'll take the stand for Christ. I'll take the stand for God. You know, so that all the earth would know that there's a God. Today is our chance. Today is our choice to stand up as David stood up. Stand up for God. Live lives that bring honor and glory to Him and let the world know that God will not be mocked. God will not be made fun of. He will not be ignored. God is a righteous God. God is a God of judgment. He will not be mocked. He expects things of people. He asks things of us. He asks us all to stand up You know, he gave his son for us. The least we can do is give our time for him. Today is our chance. Are we going to stand up?